Reminders on how to walk in righteousness with our Lord. Reminders and how to walk in righteousness with our Lord. If you will, we'll turn it to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. And these are hallmark passages that speak about this subject that we need to think about and muse about and consider and even read about often in our walk with our Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord," and how is it that sinners receive the Lord? We believe in Him. We trust in Him. We say that everything that the Lord has said is right, and everything I say and think is wrong. We say, yes, I'm the sinner that needs saving. Yes, you're the Savior. The Lord Jesus is the Savior that can save me. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," He's speaking to the children of the Lord, to those that are saved, "so walk ye in Him." So as we've received Him by faith, and everything that He said, that God says, is true, and everything about us is true, that the Lord has said, and everything that He said about the Savior is true, in that same way we need to walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, and so there is a rooting, a tap root, right, that needs to grow in our Lord. We're built upon the rock, right? And of course, I understand in those parabolistic type of references, you don't put a root in a rock, but you understand we're built upon the Lord, and our tap root of faith is in our Lord. Okay, think about the parables of the different types of ground. The only ones that bore fruit were the ones that had a tap root of salvation and faith in the Lord. "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up." And so there's a growing, there's a building up, there's an edification there, and established in the faith of our Lord, the faithfulness that of His faithfulness that we trust in, "as ye have been taught," so there's learning and teaching, "abounding," that means a whole bunch. That means overflowing. That means a whole bunch, not a little bit. Our walk with the Lord, our walk in the Lord, our walk in righteousness before our Lord and with our Lord is not a hobby. It's our life. It's to be our life. "Abounding therein with thanksgiving." And so we're to be a thankful people indeed. John 16. John chapter 16, verse number 33. And if you have your Bible and you can at all, look at these scriptures. If not, write them down or I can give them to you. And of course, there's more that can be added to this, but these are just some that the Lord worked on me about here and considering of this subject and to bring forth to us this afternoon. John 16, 33. Listen to this. The Lord's here with His disciples. They've left the upper room. They're on their way to Gethsemane. And that is the case. We think about chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer, as being in Gethsemane. But you take a look at chapter 18, it says, "Then they passed over the brook." So this is on the way. The Lord seemingly prays right there on the way in chapter 17. Before that prayer, verse number 33. He speaks to His disciples. He speaks to us. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Now, what did He say? In the world we're going to have tribulation. And what's tribulation? Tough times, hard times, things that are going to war against the things of the Lord. Trouble. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, if the things of this world don't work right, don't be surprised. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord who can help us. Look to the Lord who can make things work. Look to the Lord who only He knows what He's doing in our lives, and may we petition Him and look to Him to see what He's doing in our lives. May we rest in Him. If we saw about Brother Job and the message this morning, all of it tied together. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's what the Lord said. He doesn't say might, does He? He says will. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. So if the Lord's overcome the world, he can help us to overcome too. And, you know, you and I, saints, children of God, saved, and with the blessing of being in his New Testament Baptist Church, you remember Brother Tom Horn, and when he was with us and he preached out of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, those churches there in Asia Minor, and over and over and over in those seven churches. You want to be an overcomer? I tell you what, the overcomers are in this day and in this age in the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. That's who the directive is to. That's who the message is to. And he tells them, he praises them for their obedience. He warns them about their disobedience. And he says, here's how you overcome. Go take a look at it. Take a look at it. You know that it's there. He says, you overcome right here where you're at. And so in the Lord's churches is where we can overcome. And so the Lord's overcome the world, and we can overcome in and through him. And we come over here to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. This is just the reality. This is where the rubber meets the road, if you will. Romans 7, Brother Paul writing to the church at Rome. He's never seen them, but he desires them. He wants to go see them. He wants to minister to them. He writes to them and to us this epistle. And then listen to what he says here. And we don't have time to spend much time on any of these points, but just to know that they're there and to take them to life today and tomorrow, okay? This is the reality of the thing. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. We might think that the Apostle Paul would be a man that's arrived. He says, I've got a wrestling at hand. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And understand, he doesn't declare these things for a point of justification for ourselves when we sin, but to understand the reality of that old man, new man thing that we've got here. The old flesh and the old mind is not saved. But the new man, which is the Lord within us, he is and desires that good will and way of God. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, the new man, but how to perform that which is good I find not, the old man. For the good that I would I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so who are we feeding? Whichever man you feed, that's the one that's going to come out on top. Whichever man I feed, that's the one that's going to come out dominant in this life. And you know what? Those who are not saved have not a clue about this. Those who are saved have no warfare. They have just the plow forward, let the good times roll, flesh and the world and the way of sin. But those who are saved, they understand, if they've availed themselves at all and grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, availed themselves of the Word of God, they know they've got a battle going on. And I tell you what, that is the place of our spiritual warfare, is within ourselves. There are those that purport about fighting against Satan and fighting against the evil things, principalities and powers, and they really think that they're doing battle out there in the spirit world. I tell you what, the battle is within. And as we as a church go forward and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and look to shine to the world and witness to the world, we are fighting in that which the Lord has given us to fight. That is our warfare. But the beginning of spiritual warfare, indeed, is right here within us. He says, I find in a law, verse 21, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, the word of God, the way of God, after the inward man. When I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You see it there? The spirit living within, in this old flesh, in this old mind. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this old carnal flesh and death? Who shall deliver me? What's he say? I thank God. There is an answer. It's not that he asked that question and said, I hope you can find an answer. I hope there's something you can figure out. But it doesn't leave us that way, does it? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that we can be delivered. We can be delivered from the body of this death. We can pin this old flesh down. We can mortify the deeds of the flesh and live triumphantly indeed in our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our very Savior is the very one that helps us in this. Our Lord doesn't save us and then kick us out and put us on our own. He's with us always. As we've preached in recent times, He's within. He's closer than any other. Hard to believe that there would be any relationship closer than a relationship between a husband and a wife. But there is. The Lord Jesus living within the saved sinner, within the saint, within the child of God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can be delivered. So then with the mind I serve the law, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh it is just bent towards sinning. And we got to put it down. So then with that, we come to Romans chapter 12, which we've touched on again in recent times. Romans 12, verse number 1, I beseech you, I beg you, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is to the saved, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Take that old man and that old flesh and just lay it down there on the altar of the Lord. Oh, but not dead, but living. Take the life that you have physically and use it for the Lord. How can I? Refer back to chapter 7. And also here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Take that old man and make him holy. Take that old man and make him acceptable unto God. How? By obedience, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable to pursue that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed. Metamorphosis is the word, like the butterfly, like the caterpillar to the butterfly. We need to be changed. How? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind, the conscience, filled with the things and the word of the Lord, the directive of the Lord for life. Not the world, not our carnal thinking, not what we get from our daddies, not what we get from tradition, but from the Lord. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I have nothing to prove to anyone but our Lord. We have nothing to prove to anyone but to our Lord. That's who we have. That you may prove, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God going out in our lives. And so then 2 Peter chapter 1, reminders of how to walk in righteousness with our Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what the Scripture says. Let us be reminded. I hope these are familiar to you. These need to be familiar to the child of God. This is our instruction about how to live and how to cope with life. Listen here, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, to the saved, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We need to know about our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We've got it. We don't have to go find it. We've got it. Doesn't it say that? Hath given, past tense, unto us all. They're at hand. That pertain unto life and that pertain unto godliness or holiness or righteousness in this life, through the knowledge, again, the knowledge of what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of Him that have called us to glory and to power, virtue, to power in Him. It's by His power. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know the promises of God? Look there, there's a colon, so there's going to be expansion of that thought, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, and the divine nature is Christ, the Spirit of God living within, verse 3, His divine power, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through desire, which that lust is talking about the flesh, isn't it? We can escape that by being filled up with our Lord and availing ourselves of those things that He's given us. His Spirit lives within. You think, is the Spirit ever weak? Does the Spirit ever have a feeble time, the Spirit of the Lord? I'm talking about the Spirit of God living within us. Is the Spirit ever challenged? Now, you know what? You and I can quench the Spirit. You and I can grieve the Spirit. How do we do that? Does the new man do that? No. The old man does that. We have our Lord at hand. Listen to what He says. We might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through desire. That's not talking about just that which is sensual or sexual or that. It's talking about all the desire that we have and potential that we face and deal with in the world. And beside this, giving all diligence, we're commanded, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Be adding these things. We've got to consciously consider about adding to the faith that we have. And to godliness, brotherly kindness we need to add. And to brotherly kindness, charity, love with legs on it. What does He say? For if these things be in you, be in us, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be unfruitful. We'll be fruitful. Because you know who's the example of all these things? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to Him on how to be knowledgeable. We look to Him on how to be temperate. We look to Him on how to be patient and how to be godly. We look to our Lord. He's the answer in it all. But he that lacketh these things, verse 9, can get to where they can't see, blind, and cannot see afar off, can even get so bad off that he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yeah, a child of God cannot grow, not add, follow after that the world and the flesh, and can become as one that doesn't even remember that they have been saved. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's always those caveats that are there as the Lord speaks to the children of the Lord. Are you saved? Are you saved by what you have done and what you have pursued, or have you been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Make your calling and election sure. The calling of the Lord. And how is it that the elect are known? They do believe the gospel of Jesus. They do receive the word of the Lord, and they follow indeed their Savior. Then we come to Galatians chapter 5. And what do we see here? Well, we have a reminder here about Peter has said, add. And here we see the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are considered here in Galatians 5. And we know enough about that and are soaked up. We know all about the works of the flesh, don't we? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that which is born by the Spirit of God living within, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. You can't get to the end of them. You and I can't ever manifest them and say, got that one done. Can't do it. They continue on from the child of God. There is no law against them. There is liberty And we've been saved unto this. By the power of the Spirit of the Lord that lives within, we can manifest. Those who are not saved cannot manifest this. They don't have this from the Spirit of the Lord living within. Listen to what it says. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What we read in Romans 12. These things are dominant. And you notice here, if you'll do a survey of these, I challenge you to do it for yourself. You see some of these that we are to add, and you see some of these that we are to exhibit. This is where the rubber meets the road, brothers and sisters. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Very similar to what we read over there in Colossians, isn't it? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, which is the way it works in the world, empty glory, provoking one another, envying one another, problems that can happen in the churches. We come to James 1. Reminders of how to walk in righteousness with our Lord. In James chapter 1, this chapter here, it tells us the mix of things going on in the children of the Lord's lives. Brother Stephen, with his study about Brother Job, that's the Lord has blessed him in that and blessed us together in that study. And understand, I was talking to Brother Stephen here last week about this, and I believe it's the case. This study of the book of Job and this book that we have in the Old Testament, as we go down from Genesis down through the Old Testament and coming all the way to Israel being a nation, we see there the Lord at hand in the lives of those that He touches and that He saves. And what is there? There's just this overabundance of blessing upon them. We see in the book of Judges that there's ups and downs. But and then we see also in the nation of Israel and by the minor prophets, the major and minor prophets, we see then the condemnation and judgment of God upon His children because they've been disobedient. And so in a general sense, we can kind of see the picture that Job's friends are talking about. Till we get to this book of Job. And this book of Job then opens up unto us what the Lord has maturity-wise for His children. Because you know what? When we get to the New Testament, we see like men faithful, like the Apostle James, killed pretty early on after the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended. It's not very long, maybe just a couple or few years before James is killed by Herod. Wait a minute, he's an apostle. Whoa. We see men like Stephen stoned. What a loss. What a man so steadfast and sure in the Lord, and his life snuffed out, preaching the truth. You see what I'm saying? The Lord, this way that we reference about the Scripture is that the Lord is taking over the course of the Scripture being given to us and peeling off the layers of the onion. We find out that the calling of the Lord upon the individual and the child of God, the one that He saves and works in unto whatever He has next, that's where the blessing is. So whether it be that I be a man that has the ease of the world and able to use it for the saints and for the furtherance of the kingdom of God or whatever it is, then glory be to God. Or whether I be a man like Lazarus, full of sores, being licked by the dogs. How do you like that picture? Sitting at the rich man's gate begging for crumbs. Doesn't that make you scratch your head? But that was the Lord's calling upon Lazarus. And you know what? The Lord has used him to be a witness for some 2,000 years. Lazarus wasn't saved because he was poor. Lazarus was saved because he trusted and rested in his Lord. We see the Apostle Paul, such a man able, such an intellect, such a training, but be used up. The apostles being used up for the service and work of the Lord. And in our flesh we say, oh, Something's got to be wrong about that. But I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with the calling of the Lord and the glory that the Lord has in store for His children, meeting the calling that He's given them, whatever it may be, is the place that we need to find. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And so James speaks to us about this. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He's writing to the Jews, but he's writing to us too. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I mean, be joyful, because I'm being tested and tried, and that's what it's talking about. That's right. Because you know what's better? It's better to be tested and tried. May God help us. That it's better to be tested and tried if that's the Lord's will for us. Because He knows best. May God help us. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith in Him worketh patience. Don't brag about not having patience. Pursue waiting on the Lord. Resting in the Lord. Desire to rest and wait in the Lord. Don't brag about not being able to. Don't brag about not being patient in this world. Don't brag. Don't boast about that. But may we hear what our Lord says when we fall into different kinds of trials. That's what this word temptation here is speaking about. Good or bad, and that's it becomes relative to the flesh, doesn't it? Good or bad? It's the skin. It's the skin that our reference is. And see, that's the old man. Whether it's easy or hard. Some temptations, some trials come along and it's real easy to understand what the Lord has to do. Other trials come along and maybe we don't know what to do. Maybe we've got to spend some time in prayer. Maybe we've got to go as far as fasting. Maybe we got to just wait on the Lord. You know what's the best thing to do when you don't know what to do? Do what you know to do. You know what we can be tempted in our right now society? We can be tempted to do things just to make something happen so we'll satisfy our lack of patience. And I can't figure out for you specifically what you are to do. But there are some things generally in the Scriptures that we all know are there. And then for our individual lives, we've got some messages preached on that maybe a couple years ago. Down there to the specific will of the Lord, we must seek the Lord's face individually. He says, so count it joy when we fall into divers temptations, trials, knowing this is the trying of our faith, and the Lord worketh patience. But he says, but let patience have her perfect work. Don't be impatient and blow it. But let patience have her perfect work. Why? That ye may be perfect, mature, and entire, wanting nothing. Resting in the Lord. Looking to the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, Brother Stephen, Brother Job touched on that this morning, let him ask of God. I'm seeking the wisdom of the Lord. I tell you what, you and I are not seeking the wisdom of the Lord until we've gone to the Lord asking Him for His wisdom. Just like that. Lord, I need your wisdom. Thinking about things is not praying. But going to the Lord, if you will, you understand, face to face, and I know we've not seen His face, but go to the Lord and petition, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your help. I need your understanding about what's going on. I need you to show me something in the Scripture. I need you to speak to my heart about what I should do. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not. Hey, get out of here, Jim. What are you doing asking me for wisdom? You know better than that. Get out of here. Is that what the Lord does? Never. He doesn't chide that way. You know, our Lord is worshipped when we go to Him for what we need. We worship Him. We glorify Him. The Lord Jesus declared in giving that parable of the widow and the judge that men ought always to pray unto the Lord and not give up, not faint. We read this morning about how it is with the saints. There are those saints that cry and plead with the Lord for a long, long time in this time, Don't lose hope that he's going to not. Don't lose hope that he will answer. He will answer. He will answer. And he will avenge his own elect indeed. But let him ask in faith, or giveth all men liberally, there in the midst of verse 5, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The only way the Lord's pleased is by faith. We see that in Hebrews chapter 11. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed all about. Children of God, child of God, brothers and sisters, let us not be like the waves. It says in another place that waves foam out their own shame. We need to be focused upon our Lord and listening to Him and waiting on Him. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. No room for doubt. May God help us. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Thinking this, thinking that. Never getting settled. But let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Because you know what? If that's what the Lord does, that's the best. But let the rich of the saints of God, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. If that's what the Lord ordains, then that's the best. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass. Let us remember how it is with us in this life. Really have the outlook that really is with our lives. They are a vapor. There's on this earth and in this world nothing that we can trust in and rest in and is reliable. Our Lord is the only one that is reliable. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, you and me, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Here we're going into the subject of not trial necessarily, but temptation by Satan in the world and sin. Let's read. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so that I think that refers to what's been said from verse number 2, and then also here for this testing, this temptation of Satan. Before, it's been speaking about trials of the Lord. But here now, listen to what it says. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Well, we know that the Lord tries his children. But in this, listen, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempteth he any man. So there is that comes to the children of God that is a temptation unto wickedness and with wickedness and evil. The Lord doesn't do that. The Lord never takes illicitness and puts it in front of a child of his to determine whether he's going to be faithful or not. The Lord's not going to take booze and alcohol and salacious kind of things and put it in front of his child to try him that way. The Lord will lead us. He will speak to us out of his word. He will deal with us and things that we have in this world from the standpoint of all aspects of life, like we've been talking about here lately, our children, or our work, or our things in our church, different things, a calling of the Lord for a man to become a preacher or a minister. The Lord tries in those things, but he doesn't take evil and wickedness. If we disobey the Lord in his trying of our faith in him, it is sin, and it is wicked to sin against the Lord, but he doesn't take evil and wickedness and parade that around in front of us. That's what Satan does. Listen to what it says. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Here's the way that it works. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desire, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, desire within the old carnal heart, lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, brings certain death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord doesn't even cast a shadow. He's so bright. He's the source of light. No shadow by Him. He's solid, steadfast, and sure. If it's a good gift, it's from Him. And you know what? Trials and testing, the testing of our faith, as is mentioned earlier in the chapters we've read, is a good gift from the Lord. That's the reason we're told, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when we're tried by our Lord. Our faith is tested. But this of what Satan does and parading the world and using the things and the people of the world to tempt and lure away and destroy the Lord's people, may we resist that in the faith, as the Scripture says. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. That's how we were born again. That we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Does anger get away and turn into... Does it sprout legs? That's what wrath is. That's the way I understand it. A way of looking at it is anger with legs on it. I tell you what, and if in anything we are wrathful, we are wrong. Wrath doesn't work the will of God. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of His creatures. Maybe speaking to the Jews there in this New Testament age, in this church age. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear what the Lord says, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, abundance of naughtiness, malice and such, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5, and receive with meekness, self-control and power under control, ability under control, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. We need what the Lord says. Again, it's over and over and over because we need to hear it over and over, and that is the answer that we have. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because we can deceive ourselves. And we need to obey what our Lord says in His word. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like you and I looked in the mirror this morning. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, not being a doer of the word. He's heard the word, but he doesn't do the word. He's just like a man that looked himself in the mirror and went away and couldn't recognize himself. What's it say? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, quickly, he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Without the word of God, you and I will forget. We'll go the way of the flesh. We'll go the way that makes sense in the world. We'll go the natural way. Forgetting that we need to be and operate, not act, but behave like the children of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer of what God has said, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. For if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, here's an example. He deceiveth, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. You and I can't control our mouths. We needed to go to the Lord about that. Because the mouth speaks of the abundance of the heart. That's what the Lord Jesus says. If any man among you seem to be religious, that's what he's purporting, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled, if you want to speak about that, before God and the fatherless is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's that putting down that old man again. So may the Lord help us. These reminders of how to walk in righteousness with our Lord. Appreciate your attention this afternoon. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way and the truth and life for sinners that need a Savior. And you know what? He's the way, the truth, and the life for children of God that have been saved to live for our Lord. He is that narrow way. When he says, he speaks volumes when he says, learn of me. You and I, as we walk, as we go home this afternoon, and as we get up tomorrow, I know it became a cliche some decades ago, what would Jesus do? But I tell you, for the child of God, in every step, every move that we make, everything that we pursue, everything that we think it needs to be, what would our Lord do? If my Lord was in my shoes, what would he do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what Paul asked, right?